Hi, my name's Paul Bartlett, and I'm a senior correspondent on Seatrade Maritime News. Today I'm going to talk about rapidly developing regulations, which have dramatic implications for many ship owners, managers, and charterers, notably those involved in sea trades to and from the European Economic Area, which consists of the European Union, Iceland, and Norway. The regulations will affect shipping companies operating within European Economic Area, but it also has far-reaching implications for owners, managers and charterers of ships based outside Europe whose vessels trade to and from the bloc. Recent analysis by Hamburg-based analyst OceanScore, for example, has indicated that container lines based in Asia will incur additional emissions trading costs running into billions of euros every year. In this podcast, we will examine the significance of 2024 in the light of new regulations. Although their full impact has not been felt so far, the new regulations will alter day-to-day ship management and require an unprecedented level of ship performance monitoring, verification, and reporting, known as MRV. The regulations are the IMO's Carbon Intensity Indicator System, the European Union Emissions Trading System, and Fuel EU Maritime. Millions of words have already been written about the new emissions-relating requirements, but let's start with the IMO's Carbon Intensity Indicator, CII, which applies to subject vessels wherever they may be in the world. Ship operators with vessels under approved classification arrangements will certainly have comprehensive compliance frameworks relating to CII already in place. The deadline for reporting data for 2023 is March the 31st, just a few weeks away, and this date will continue to be the deadline every year from now on. However, many ship owners and operators located in other parts of the world may not be familiar with the new EU regulations. If their ships call at an EU port at any time in the future, they should be aware of them. Some experts believe that other regions of the world could well adopt similar regulatory frameworks. The concern is that if there is no coordination, ship owners, operators, and managers could face a patchwork of different measures in various parts of the world, creating a major headache in terms of efficient ship operation. The CII is intended to measure a ship's energy efficiency in grams of carbon dioxide per cargo carrying capacity and nautical mile. The formula has come under close scrutiny and certainly doesn't work for some ship types and their deployments. As of the end of March this year, qualifying ships will have a CII rating ranging from A at the top to E at the bottom. Ships in categories A, B, or C will be acceptable, but those falling into D for three consecutive years or E for 1 year will have to have a corrective action plan in place as part of their ship energy efficiency management plan. This will have to be verified before the necessary statement of compliance can be issued. There are complex legal issues relating to the ship's contract of employment. A ship's CII relates to the manner in which it is deployed, but, subject to charter arrangements, this responsibility could lie with the ship owner, the manager, or the charterer. The former would, of course, be concerned about preserving a good CII rating, whereas, for the latter, the issue could be of little relevance. The IMO has come up with a range of correction factors which are applied to the CII formulae for some ship types. However, critics of the system insist that there are still various ship types and trading arrangements for which the CII is not suitable and for which there are still no correction factors. Feeder container ships, for example, are one, because they operate on short voyages, are unlikely to be full most of the time, and spend a lot of time in port. Another important feature of the CII is that it will be reviewed next year in 2025. Its requirements will tighten from 2026, meaning that ships initially rated in the first three acceptable categories A, B, or C could fall into D or even E later this decade. This issue is particularly important for many owners, but one particular sector is vulnerable. Experts on LNG carriers, for example, believe that many existing vessels, notably steam turbine units and those powered by relatively inefficient four-stroke engines, will fall into categories D or E at the outset. Turning now to the EU emissions trading system, which has been in place since the beginning of 2024, shipping has been included in this system, although the ETS has been in place since 2005 for other industrial sectors. It has significant implications for owners and managers and charterers whose vessels trade within the bloc or to or from the region on international voyages. Together with FuelEU Maritime, of which more in a minute, this is the first time that companies engaged in maritime transport will have to pay a price for carbon emissions. It has wide implications for ship design and operation, as well as the commercial framework and legal obligations of owners and charterers. However, some argue that there is already a built-in flaw to the EU emissions trading system framework because it is based on a tank-to-wake measure of carbon intensity rather than a well-to-wake assessment. This is primarily because the emissions trading system, already in place, as I say, for other industrial sectors, has not been implemented on a well-to-wake basis. There is a strong possibility that the system for shipping will adopt a well-to-wake carbon intensity assessment when it is reviewed in 2026. But critics argue that many first movers using a tank-to-wake measure of carbon intensity will suddenly find themselves handicapped by the new measuring system at that time. This is because the tank-to-wake measure takes no account of a particular fuel's production process. So black methanol, produced from coal or natural gas, for example, is considered the same as green methanol. In fact, according to an analysis undertaken by the Green Marine Methanol Consortium, fossil methanol has a carbon intensity more than 10 times that of green methanol, and higher even than shipping's conventional fuels, heavy fuel oil or marine gas oil. The emissions trading system also opens up a whole range of new issues for shipping lawyers. Charter party law is already exceedingly complex, but new clauses will be required in various forms of employment contract to set out which party is liable for the new requirements and responsibilities and when. It also presents a major challenge and a new requirement for ship managers and operators. For those with ships subject to the new regulations, they must ensure that they have robust monitoring, reporting, verification systems to track carbon dioxide emissions. The MRV requirement, in place since 2018, was updated in June 2023, so that by 2027, the system will be extended to cover methane and nitrous oxide emissions. The regulation applies to cargo and passenger ships of 5,000 gross tons and above. Since the beginning of January, operators of these ships are required to track vessel emissions under the MRV system, and these will form the basis of the EU allowances that will be required by September 2025. EU allowances are available from the European Energy Exchange, and initially, ship operators will have to buy sufficient allowances to offset 40% of their tank-to-wake carbon dioxide emissions. This means that companies already trading within or to and from the bloc must already have MRV systems in place, operating on a 24/7 basis. For offshore vessels and general cargo ships between 400 and 5,000 gross tons, MRV will be required from 2025, and the appropriate EU allowances must have been acquired by September 26. However, so far the term offshore vessels has not been defined. Companies that fail to acquire and surrender allowances covering their emissions profile will incur penalties and an allowance debt. At the outset, ship owners or their designated representative will have to buy sufficient allowances to cover 50% of voyages
to and from the European Economic Area, which is made up of the European Union plus Iceland and Norway, and 100% of voyages within the bloc. The system will have three phases. 40% of reported emissions will have to be covered by allowances in September 2025, 70% in September 2026, and 100% from 2027. The new regulations pose a major challenge for all owners and operators, but they may be particularly daunting for owners of small fleets with modest shoreside resources and little spare capacity in terms of personnel. However, new digital systems have already been developed to assist with ETS management and compliance. Using big data and machine learning, many thousands of voyages and many different types of ships, software is now available that can automatically calculate emissions for a particular voyage or combination of voyages. Once the relevant voyage data has been fed into the system, the length of voyages can be calculated in nautical miles, duration, and fuel requirement. Carbon dioxide emissions and emissions trading system liabilities can then be established. Total emissions trading system costs can then be calculated in a currency of choice based on end-of-day carbon prices. A continuous track of CII performance is another feature of some of these systems. Turning now to Fuel EU Maritime, this is a regulation designed to support shipping industry decarbonisation and enters force on January the 1st next year, 2025. It aims to increase the share of renewable and low-carbon fuels used by shipping in the European Union and the European Economic Area. The regulation sets well-to-wake greenhouse gas emission intensity requirements for ships trading in the EU from next year. Marine fuels will be assigned emission factors calculated on their greenhouse gas intensity. Ship operators will therefore have to ensure that greenhouse gas intensity measured per energy unit is below a certain level. There'll be a financial penalty for every quantum of energy used above this level. The regulations will also require container ships and cruise vessels to use shore power in certain European Union ports from 2030. This will apply to ships on a berth in a trans-European transport network port for more than 2 hours. Fuel EU will incentivise the use of renewable fuels, notably those of non-biological origin, known as RFNBOs, by issuing rewards for their take-up. This is intended to compensate for their likely higher production costs and purchase prices. However, if the reward scheme fails to prove sufficiently successful, a mandatory minimum volume of RFNBOs will be introduced. Once again, it should be stressed that although the two systems, European Union Emissions Trading System and Fuel EU Maritime, will operate in tandem, the fact that the assessment of carbon intensity uses a different metric creates a fundamental problem. This is because some alternative fuels that appear to perform well in carbon intensity on a tank-to-wake basis are actually more carbon intensive when measured on a life cycle assessment or well-to-wake framework. Well, I hope that this short podcast has highlighted some of the issues facing owners, managers, and charterers. However, I must stress that the new regulations raise many issues in both operational and commercial terms, and close liaison with experts, lawyers, classification societies, and so on is highly recommended. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good day.